Hi, it's Mackenzie, and this is the Mill Spouse Brief. Happy Friday. I hope you guys had a wonderful week. This week was full of me just doing some work and preparing for a work trip that I have next week and getting ready for my family to come visit, which I'm really excited about. I hosted a baby shower last weekend, so that was really fun. And we've kind of just been hanging out, nothing big happening this weekend either, which I think will be fun. We love to wash our cars when it gets hot out, and especially because it's so much easier just to wash them here. So I think we'll probably do that this weekend and just do stuff around the house. But we had a really good week, and I'm so excited for this episode. Emily is amazing. It was so fun talking with her. We're really similar, so it was really fun to share and discuss all of our funny stories and kind of realize that we actually live really close to each other and be able to kind of hang out some more, which is exciting. And I'm happy to finally continue to keep making more friends, which is something I love about the podcast. Excuse me, that I'm able to meet new people around here and find people to hang out with, especially with our husbands having crazy schedules and everything like that. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. It was so great, and I'm really grateful for you guys tuning on, and I will catch you next Friday. All right, so I'm here with Emily. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, I am Emily Van Allsburg. You might know me as Blessed Life Marine Wife on Instagram, because I feel like that's what people know, not my name.
Oh, that's so cute.
Introduce myself. So my name is Emily. I have a husband named Troy. I am 23 years old from Southern California, and now I live on base on Camp Pendleton. So that's interesting.
That is fun. Do you feel like is the biggest difference between living up in San Clemente to now living down here in Oceanside?
The culture is definitely different. Oh, in yeah. San Clemente, it's like everybody surfs or sails, and yeah. Then down here, it's like we have this big family where everybody kind of knows what the other person is going through. Mm-hmm. So, like, Troy actually just left for deployment.
Yeah.
And that week, like, I had my closest friend just have my back the
whole
way.
Oh, that's so cute.
And I don't think I would have ever experienced that if I didn't live maybe on base. Because yeah. The people that I know that I've met on base are incredible.
That's awesome.
And they know how to lift you up. Especially when you've gone through the same thing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Which is probably one of the best things about living on base.
Heck yeah. Absolutely. Because, I mean, who else is going to understand,
like, what we're going through?
Literally saying goodbye to somebody that you love for 6 to 9 months. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're doing what?
Exactly.
Yeah.
How did you and Troy meet?
Okay, so I came down to, I think, swim. Yeah, in Oceanside on the beach. And I was with my best friend, Jennifer. So mm-hmm. Jennifer, if you're listening to this, shout out. and him and his buddy were playing Frisbee on the beach. This is okay. Going to sound very rom-com. but he threw the Frisbee at us. It was a complete accident. Like, it was the craziest windy day I've ever felt in my life. Like, I remember we sat on the beach and I was like, is this what bullets feel like? Because the sand was hitting us so hard.
Oh my gosh, it's the worst.
But yeah, he threw the Frisbee and I screamed at them. I was like, get the heck away from me. Like, I was already mad.
Yeah.
Because I was breaking up with my boyfriend at the time.
Oh,
yeah, I know,
no.
I know. Just a mess of a situation.
Yeah.
But he ended up hitting us, I think, like 2 or 3 times. And I got so mad, I, like, rolled over and went to sleep. And he just walked over and sat down next to me and my friend. Like, didn't really give us a choice.
Yeah.
So just, like, sat down and started talking to us. And I went in the water because I was like, you are too much. And, like, growing up here, there's this connotation to Marines that you want to stay the heck away from them because they're so arrogant and so full of themselves. And the first thing you want to do is just punch them in the face and be like, settle down, you're not that great, leave me alone. So, like, I went into the water thinking, like, God, he's going to leave us alone. Thank God. He followed me into the water.
Oh, so he had his eye on you.
Yeah. Like, he always tells me that I don't believe in love at first sight. Just personally. But he's like, I fell in love with you from the moment I saw you. I'm like, no, sir. You fell in love with my ass. Stop it.
That is so funny. So, is that how you guys started dating?
We became pretty close that day. Mm-hmm. And then, like, we just became friends.
Yeah.
And then, I think not even a week later, he messaged me that night, actually, and was mm-hmm. like, hey, like, let's hang out for a movie night. And I was like, take me out a date, boy.
Yeah.
So, we went to breakfast, I think, a week and a half later, and we just like couldn't stay away from each other. Because he's a lot of fun.
So cute.
A lot of fun. And he's really witty. Mm-hmm. And I just immediately was attracted to that.
Yeah.
I mean, a man that's witty, that can like handle my sass. Yes. I mean, that was big.
Yes.
So even though he was pretty, he was very antisocial when we first met. So like that was kind of funny because I'm incredibly social. And
that
like,
is something that's literally me and my husband's dynamic.
Yeah. Like it's just how do you match up? Yeah. Opposites really do attract.
I totally agree.
So yeah, he was definitely not the most like personable guy. But then all of a sudden, like it completely changed when I came into his life and I forced him to be around people and joy. You're probably going to hear this. I apologize for that. Because like we literally had people over every single day.
Yeah.
And he was like, I hate this. So yeah, that's how we started dating.
Oh my gosh. So how long did you guys date for?
Yeah, it was quick. I think it was 9 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you dated, got engaged, and then when did you guys get married?
We got married on January 12th, 2018.
Oh my gosh, so cute.
Yeah, so when he comes back, it'll be our 4-year anniversary, which is weird. Aww. Because I feel like I'm too young to be married 4 years.
Yeah.
Because I'm only 23.
Yeah, but like, who cares?
Yes, but at the same time, when people are like, you're married? I'm like, yeah, maybe, sure.
Yeah, you're like, I know. But I wonder, do you feel like this? Because, so you got married, what, 19, 20?
19.
Okay, so I got married when I was 20. And I feel like you have, like, two people on the spectrum. You have one where it's, like, you get married and almost getting married is, like, a crutch and you're, like, immature because of it. Okay. And then I feel like on the other end, getting married so young forces you to mature and, like, make big girl decisions and do all those things. And so, like, looking at it, I feel like getting married young almost helped me and my husband mature because we had to think about all these other things that at 19, 20, you don't really think about if you're not married.
Yeah. I mean, there's also this, like, attitude of being a teenager that's, like, your shit doesn't stink.
Yeah.
And also, you think you're invincible. And you're pretty selfish, but then all of a sudden you marry somebody and you have to be selfless.
Yeah.
You have to put the other person first because if not, you're going to fight. And that fighting sucks because it makes your life hell. So, like, yeah, I totally get that. 100%, you definitely do have to mature quickly. And I get, like, the first year of Troy and I's marriage, we did have a lot of fun. And there was a lot of immaturity, though, I will say. I wouldn't say in, like, our marriage maybe particularly, but the way we conducted ourselves maybe wasn't the most, like, wasn't the healthiest or maybe most mature. And then quickly we realized, like, okay, we're a married couple.
Yeah.
Like, let's get our crap together at this point. Yeah, so 100% I agree.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so what's his job in the Marine Corps?
Okay, so his MOS is a 6541.
Okay.
So, like, I know that. But what he does, it flip-flops. At one point, he was building missiles and rockets and putting them on the aircraft on, like, the Cobras. And now, I think he He works with the guns on the aircraft.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So that's what he does.
Does he like it?
Yes, I think he loves it, but at the same time, like, the amount of stress that goes into it, maybe it's just that they'll, like, this flight line, but MALS 39, which was his unit, was, like, hell because there was just so much going on.
Yeah.
And, of course, in the Marine Corps, you have these, like, egotistical people that are, like, you have to do it this way or, like, or not this way at all or just, like, get the heck out of my face. Yep. And Troy is a problem solver, so when he sees something's not working well,
he wants to fix it.
Yeah, and he was running his own shop. So in his mind, he was like, okay, this is my shop. I want to do things the right way. And then there are people that are like, well, let's do it the quick way. And he's like, but I want this to be done right so I don't get my ass chewed.
Yeah.
So yeah, I kind of feel bad for him, but at the same time, I know he likes it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why.
I totally feel that. So you guys have been married for almost 4 years. Yeah. So does that mean he's in his second contract?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are your guys' thoughts about Marine Corps?
Like for life?
Longevity type thing.
So I want him to stay in.
Okay.
I'm big on education.
Yeah.
I'm really big on education. And I knew a lot about the Marine Corps, but not entirely. When, like, we first got married, and I didn't realize that his education, like, if he wanted to get a master's or a PhD or whatever, like, it would be complete free.
Yeah.
And in my head, I'm thinking, are you out of your mind? Don't give that up. Like, just keep on going. Because if you get out of the Marine Corps, you have your 3 years of, what is it called? what is the grant that they give you?
The GI Bill.
Thank you. Yes. The GI Bill. They give them that, which is normally like 3 years from what I've learned. Mm-hmm. So I just said to him, continue, keep on going. And then he's going to go to OCS.
Okay.
So, because he almost is done. Like, it's crazy. In the military, you can do classes for 8 weeks instead of, like, the full 16 weeks, which I wish I had back when I was in, like, school in the first couple of years. Yeah, wow. I'd be done. But, yeah, so he's already in his, like, second or third year of college, and he started a year ago. Yeah.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. So he'll finish his degree and then go to OCS.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah, so he definitely doesn't want to get out.
Yeah.
But
so he'll be a Mustang, which is cool.
Yes, exactly. I heard that word for the first time, and I was like, I kind of like that.
That's sure. So cool. Yeah, okay, so he'll do that. And then you said he's deployed right now.
Yeah. So he's in Japan.
Okay, and it's just on a UDP, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So I guess, like, they call it, at least the guys in his shop, they call it Japanistan. Because, like, back in, like, 2008, 2009, everybody was going to Afghanistan.
That's
now
like
everybody goes to Japan, and they just party. Oh, he calls it, too.
Yeah, when he left, he's like, okay, on my way to Japanistan. And I was like, oh, my God, I do not think you should be calling it that. But, yeah, I feel like the Marine Corps, and I don't know if this is, like, what you view as well, but I feel like sometimes they say things that maybe, like, to civilians would come off as so wrong or, like, so bad.
Oh,
but you're like, I don't know, they just have such a different, like, mentality because it's, like, they're working with all different kinds of race and all different kinds of sex and all different kinds of religion. It's, like, kind of, like, they're, not that things couldn't be taken the wrong way, but they kind of all have this, like, universal, like, we're all still brothers and we all still joke.
Yeah.
So it's, like, nothing's taken personally almost.
No, not at all.
So I'll be like, Cade, should you really be saying that? And he's like, it's fine. Like, he, like, they'll joke about how they call. So, like, in his unit, he has a lot of guys that were, like, born and raised in Mexico. Or, like, okay. Have different Hispanic, what's the right word? I'm blanking on it.
Like culture?
Not culture, but, ethnicity? Like, not ethnicity, but, like,
Background,
or I don't know what the word I'm thinking of is. But, like, they'll joke on their names, and they won't call them their, like, correct names. And I was like, Cade, like, you should be calling them the correct, like, pronunciation. And he's like, oh, no, we call him, like, so for example, one's name is Ovalle, okay. But they call him Oval because it, like, spells, like, oval. And I was like, Cade, you should call him by the right name. Like, just because it's not how, like, American would pronounce it, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, it's fine. And I was like, well, he probably wants to be called his name. And he's like, no, we just call him Oval. And I was like, okay, like, are you sure he's okay with that? He's like, yeah. Like, they, like, all of them. If it's not, like, how they want it to pronounce, it's something different. And I'm like, that's so funny that they, like, do it like that, but, you know.
Well, okay, so I get that, because Troy and I's last name, it's Van Allsburg, but a lot of people say Annelsburg, because that's, like, literally what it says, and it's like, good Lord, like, really?
Yeah.
It's like, I know one of his, oh, now it's his major, he'll be like, what's going on in Vanelsburg? And I'm like, can you never? Like, just, why?
That is funny.
Or people say Porn Stash instead, because he has, like, this massive stash. Yeah, so they're like, they just don't even say his name. And I'm like, honestly, I get it.
Okay, what is your thought about the mustache?
I love it. I love it.
Well, I'm glad you do.
Tell me I have daddy issues. I don't give a damn. But, like, I am really into mustaches. Tom Selleck is my dream man.
Like, I just watched an episode of Blue Bloods today before he came over.
If he honestly pulled up in a Cadillac and just said, get in, baby girl, I'd be like, Troy, I'm leaving you. Never forget how much I loved you, but, like, I need to go.
That is so funny.
Tom Selleck.
Okay, so the mustache is for you, because the mustache is not for me.
Oh, my God.
Like, if so Cade, I don't think Cade knows how to grow a mustache, like, I don't
think,
like, I don't think, like, his body can do that. He'll get, like, a little bit of scruff down here if he doesn't shave for a couple days, like, if he's on leave, and I'm like, okay, I like that.
Yeah.
But, like, the mustache, I can't go. And I don't think Cade's ever been able to, like, grow one type thing. Like, he doesn't have a lot of facial hair or, like, hair anywhere that he grows.
Yeah.
But, like, I think if he tried to, I'd be like, you gotta shave that. Like, even if he gets long, like, even if he's on leave, he'll shave, like, this part and keep down here. And maybe it's because, and you have to say this, if it grows out to be an actual mustache, is it as pokey and hard?
Ooh, okay, so I guess that depends on the man's hair, though. Because you know how some men can have, like, bristles?
Yes.
Like, legit bristles.
That is Caden.
Okay, so that's uncomfortable.
Yeah. Like, even, like, kissing it, I'm like, oh, okay, you just literally pierced my face. Or, like, even if he's, like, kissing my, like, cheek or something, or, like, rubs up against it, I'm like,
Do you realize, like
yeah.
you almost, like, microdermed me.
You really don't need to, like, exfoliate my face. Like, get off me. Yes, I completely understand.
So does Troy
that.
Have softer hair?
He has very soft hair, which
okay,
I
so
really
I feel like
appreciate.
That's probably different.
Yeah.
Because if you're, like, not kissing something that's, like, hurting you.
But also, if a man is, like, constantly shaving and then growing it out, it's, like, you know how a woman shaves and, like, all yeah. of a sudden it's, like, super thick and it's coarse and it's kind of painful.
So if you let it go longer, it will
yeah,
get better.
Exactly. 100%. But, I love the mustache. I love it. Also, I just want to say, you can cut this out if you need to, but it's great in bed.
I think that's hysterical. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so mustache for the win for Emily. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he just left for his deployment.
Yeah.
When, he'll get back in what, 6 months, you said?
6 months, yeah.
Okay.
So I'm hoping by the end of this year.
Yeah, which Kate just got back from a UDP.
Okay.
And I will say that it went way faster than I thought it would.
Oh, heck yeah.
It's,
was that your first?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we got married and he deployed 7 days later.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, so our wedding, we was supposed
happy
to.
Happy honeymoon.
You know, we didn't really get one, but we were supposed to get married, COVID canceled it, and then we knew he was deploying, and so we were like, what do we do? So we got married at the Ritz-Carlton in Dana Point,
yes,
and then
okay.
7 days later, he deployed.
Oh, we love that for you.
Yeah, and so okay. for me, I went back home, I worked, I traveled a ton, which kept me super busy. So okay. like, and you said that you've already gone through another deployment, right? What was
yeah.
that deployment like?
Oh, man. Okay, so that one, I definitely traveled a lot, and I also had a lot of friends near me.
That's
so,
good. Did you still live here?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I've lived in the same house the whole time, and it didn't feel like he was really deployed.
Yeah.
Let me recant that. I feel as though it was so long, and we didn't get to talk for that long, or we didn't get to talk that much, so there would be, like, days where it would be, like, 63 days without seeing him or talking to him. And then he would FaceTime me, and the first thing that would go through my mind is like, oh my god, I have a husband. Crap. Let me take this. And
yeah.
then it would be like maybe a 15-minute call, and he'd be like, okay, like I gotta go. I'll call you later. And then sometimes it would be like, okay, like I'll talk to you in a week, sorry.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it went by really fast because we weren't able to speak. So this one is a little different. Because
you're like almost talking every day.
We're talking every single day. And you get the whole, I miss you, I love you. You've already said that to me.
Yeah.
You don't know what else to say.
Yeah, and I totally get that. I think sometimes when you don't talk as much or you go a couple days when they're gone, you almost have more to talk about.
Yeah.
Versus when you're talking every day or you have, like, the same schedule, you're like, if nothing happened, I have nothing to talk about. And then it drags on. Yeah, like, you're like, and I killed a fly and,
yes.
you know, and the neighbor went to the mailbox and something she should not have gone in the mailbox today, and like that's all, you know what I mean? Like, there's
yes.
nothing exciting, but when you're going for so long, you're able to. That's what I did. I think it was when he was in either MCT, I think it was he would call like every weekend, and
okay.
so during the week, I would just write in my notes app things to talk to him about, and then he'd
oh,
call
sorry.
Because I feel like when you talk to him and you haven't talked to him, the emotion almost, like, overcomes you at first. And you're like, oh, hi. Like, and you don't know what to talk about.
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
I would always just write down notes. And I'm like, oh, let me pull up my notes. Forgot to tell you about this. Let me tell you about this. And, like, then I was able to, like, make the conversation worthwhile instead of, like, I had things to tell you, but I can't remember. And then he's
very,
like,
very organized of you.
I know. That is, like, me. Type A to, like.
The max?
Yes.
Good Lord.
And so, like, if I didn't remember, then I'd feel bad.
Okay.
And then I'd be like, oh, I forget to tell you something. And then we'd kind of just sit on the phone, like, well, how was yours? And MCT was really hard for him.
Okay.
So I think even me asking about it was, like, worse. Because it would be like, okay, well, if I didn't come up with things to talk about, I'd be like, well, I want to hear about your day. And he'd be like,
it was hell.
It was awful. I did push-ups and bleach. A guy's eye got infected because bleach got in it. And all we did was got hazed for the last, like, 4 days. You know what I mean? Like, and so MCT was really, really hard for him.
Okay.
So if I didn't write things down and, like, carry the conversation, it was like, even though I wanted to know what was going on with him, it was like he didn't want to talk about it.
I
and
am
so
glad I missed that because I never saw anything.
Because you guys didn't meet until he was stationed here, right?
Yeah, he did MCT here.
Okay.
I know he did MCT here. But other than that, like, I think we met, I think it was, like, a good year after all.
So he was, like, already in the fleet and everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really glad I didn't do that. Or boot camp. Because that letter thing, I would have been like, hey, don't really know what to talk about.
I wrote a letter every single day. 86 letters. Yeah. But honestly, like, I was going through a really hard time. I was at college and I was miserable.
Okay.
So, like, that letter got me through it. You know, like, the fact that I
yeah.
could write and, like, somehow. And, like, it's so cheesy because we have all this technology now, but like getting a letter in the mail, it would make my week. I would have it memorized. And someone would be like, oh, to Kate, are you letting me? Like, yep. And it said, da 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 da, because I would read so much. And then I think something just about the tangibleness of the letters was really good. Like, I still have every single letter mark.
I don't think I've ever sent Troy a letter, but I actually was thinking about it yesterday. I was like, what if I just, like, sent him a letter? Like, of course there's going to be, like, nudes in it, but, like, I just, like, don't. Like, what do I put in a letter? Hi, I talked to you today.
Yeah, we'll just see. At boot camp, you can't do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
So, like, that's all our only form of communication with letters.
Did you hear that the Army is, like, I think implicating, like, that they're going to allow phones?
They've already done it.
Oh.
It's ridiculous. I'm like, and the Army boot camp, I think, is, like, 6 weeks. So, like, you can't even go that. Maybe that's Air Force. I don't know. But they, like, they get on the weekends or something like that. Because we had a friend at the same time go to boot camp. Okay. And he would, like, post on his Snapchat. And I was like, great, you're at boot camp. Why do you have your phone? Like, what?
That's, like, okay, I get jealous over that stuff. I'm like, if you can talk to your spouse or if you can talk to the people that love you, like, I don't want to talk to you.
I got one phone call during the entire time. And it was during their Liberty, like, after they become Marines.
Okay.
One phone call, and I read that they were possibly going to get a phone call, but I didn't know if it was going to happen or not. And I remember, like, I was at church, it was a Sunday, and I, like, my phone starts buzzing, and I, like, realize it's him, and so I, like, rush out of the building. Aww. And, like, hearing for his voice for the first time in almost, like, what, 3 months? It was, like, 13 weeks
off. Yeah.
It was, like, the best thing ever. Aww. And, like, we talked for maybe, like, 4 or 5 minutes. But it was like...
Those 4 or 5 minutes is literally your whole world.
Oh, yeah. And it wasn't... Like, I didn't... I was so overcome with emotion. Like, I was, like, crying. And that's when I learned to write things in the notes. Because I was like, there are so many things I needed to ask you or tell you about.
Okay.
And I couldn't now that, like, once those form... Because then once it sits down and you're, like, the high goes down, you're like...
Yeah.
I didn't ask him all those questions.
So how did you guys meet?
High school.
Oh, you guys are high school sweethearts.
We are. We met freshman year of high school.
That's really cute. I know. That's really cute.
So, but yeah, no, but that's my big thing about letters. I think, like, even when we were dating, I remember getting a letter in the mail. Like, okay. He was here, he was in the fleet, and I, like, got a letter one day. And he was like, hey. Because, like,
oh,
I think...
he wrote a letter?
What? So, he only wrote one...
I'm gonna make him listen to this.
He only wrote one or two when he, like, hit the fleet, and I think he just knew because of how much... Like, our anniversary is this month, and he was like, what do you want? And I was like, I want another letter. Because I was like, those were my favorite things to, like, even read back. Like, I moved in here, and he was still deployed, and I, like, reread every single letter. And I was like, do you remember talking about this? Because, like, our thing was we would write memories in our letters. And that's what helped Kate get through boot camp, which was so hard. So, like, we spent the whole summer before we went to boot camp together. So, like, in one letter, I was like, hey, remember when we went to the lake house and did this, this, and this? And, oh, my gosh, going and watching fireworks was so fun with you, and... I would be able to, like, write jokes or tell funny stories of what we did. And then he'd be able to, like, read that letter and be like, okay, even though, like, boot camp is the most awful place I've ever been in, I can, like, sit here for, like, 2 minutes and think about that and, like, help him get through. Now he's, like, not going through any hard where he needs something like that and we, like, live together. But it was, like, one of the things that I think was super cool because, like, looking back on that, and have you ever seen those things where people are, like, at your wedding, you, like, make a box, you put a letter in, like, a bottle of wine, and it's, like, open it on, like, your 5-year anniversary, like, open it when you have your first fight or things like that.
Yeah, of course.
And it's really interesting to me because I always thought, like, okay, like, who's going to want to open a box when you're in a fight? You know what I mean? Like, who's going to want to do that?
You're going to throw the box at you. Yeah.
But I remember, like, looking back at the letters.
Okay.
And it really does bring back because, like, you've been married for what, almost 4 years.
Uh-huh.
And... how do you feel about the whole, like, butterflies eventually, not necessarily go away, but they change. They're not as, like, they're not the same, like, butterflies as, like, oh, I'm going on a date for the first time, or, like, I'm going to your house for the first time. And I think reading those letters brings those feelings back because you're able to, like, remember how you used to feel. It's different now because you do come home to the same house, and you go to bed together at the same time.
Yeah.
And, like, there's a little bit more... like,
it's like comfort.
It's yeah. You know, there it's not as like, oh my gosh, I'm like going to his house or like, oh, I'm spending the night at his house for the first time or like, oh, we're doing all these, I'm meeting his family or like all those butterfly emotions. But reading those letters was really cool to then like almost feel the butterflies again because then you get to talk about it and like relive it.
Okay.
I don't know. That
Troy's
was like,
not very sentimental. So like, I don't know if I could ever actually get him to like, oh, like he has written. He's really good at, like, poetry.
Oh, that's so
but,
cute.
But, like, if I was to say, like, remember when we did this? Like, let me show you in the letter. He'd be like, what the hell am I reading, Emily? Like, Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Because, like, I am the kind of person that takes a gazillion photos.
Mm-hmm.
Gazillion.
Yep.
And, like, not even of us. Just, like,
to remember.
I normally take photos of him everywhere. Like, there's barely any photos of me.
Cute.
It's just him. And, like, different places. So, like, I'll re-show him. I'll be like, look, what remember when we did this? And
yeah.
He's like, yeah.
And you're like, okay, thank you. I don't know what it is with boys. They're just not like that.
Not sentimental? Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's fine. Like, he's definitely more sensitive than I am. So, like, he would
really?
Be like, yeah, for sure. Like, if he ever, like, how do I say? I feel as though, like, emotionally, he would be the one to be like, oh, like, I miss you so much. I'd be like, yeah, like, I miss you too. Like, that's just, but, like, the sentimental
yeah.
stuff, I don't know. I don't think I could, like, get him there.
Yeah.
Because I think even for me, I'd be like, yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. And I definitely think it just depends on, like, your type of relationship and, like,
yeah.
how you guys are and stuff like that.
But the butterflies thing, I actually still do get butterflies sometimes. Because I get
so
really
cute.
Excited when he's coming home at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Because my days are pretty full. So I'll be like, I want to tell you all of the stuff that I did today.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to just blow up with, like, so many things that I have to tell you. So I get butterflies on that. And then also I get so excited for him to come home. And I'm like, can we have sex?
I love it. That is
now,
so funny.
Yesterday kind of situation.
Yeah.
Let's go. So that's just me.
Well, I think it's really fun. Like, that's, I think, the best thing about deployments is you really do get to feel those butterflies again.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that day?
Yeah.
Did you guys have a photographer that day?
We didn't. So, like, our friend Shay's photographer took, like, 2 pictures of us. Because
okay.
Cade was like, you're not getting a photographer. Like, we're
oh,
not.
Oh, the drama.
We're not doing
what?
That. And I was like, okay. And he was like, and no signs. And I was like, okay. And he was like, I mean, like, they're, like, I'm grabbing my bag and we are leaving. Like, do not. Like, and this is literally, and you guys can't see it because I'm going to act it out, but he gets off the bus and, like, the Marines are just running and, like, everyone's family and, like, Shay's husband was meeting his kid for the first time, so, like, it was
oh,
a big
yes,
deal.
Yes.
It was
okay.
so special. And I, like, they're all in their hats and their face masks, so, like, you can't even
tell
see who, you know?
Here.
And so I told him, like, I'm wearing this, I'm standing in this spot, you know? Comes up like this. I have the video, I'll show you. He just strolls up, and I was like, you haven't seen me for 6 months, like, you're not gonna, like, pep in your step, or, like, what? Literally just strolls up and goes, hey, stranger.
I feel a little salty, I'm not gonna
lie. I was like, hi, like, and but that's just Cade. Cade
okay.
is, like, chill. Chill is a cucumber? Yeah,
cucumber. I thought you were gonna say a cougar. I was like, I don't know if I would, like, qualify them as chill, but okay.
No, so a cucumber, like, so chill. And
okay.
so he, like, hugs me and he's like, all right, let's go. I want to go home, you know? But it was just so funny because in my mind, I'm like, oh, it's going to be this, like, tears and happiness. And Cade's
yeah.
like, okay, let's go home. Like, it's so funny just because Cade, that's, like, why we work. I am high energy, high emotion, and Cade is mellow.
Level.
And he's like, let's calm down. But let's take a break, you know?
Okay, like, I think you and I have, like, the same relationship with our husband because I know Troy is, like, extremely, like, the one word that I would say to, like, that I would, like, describe him with is, like, chill or steady.
Steady. Oh,
yeah.
My gosh, yes. Like, Cade is my rock.
Yes.
That is who steadies me. And I think that's why we work so much, because I pull him out, just like you said. I have people come over. I put him in, like, situations where he gets to experience new things. But he's always, and I think it's a Marine thing. And which, I don't think every Marine is like that. But I think the Marines that, like, have, not more success, but can be successful in the Marine Corps, have that steadiness. Because they're put in such high stress situations or
yeah.
like dangerous situations, and I'd be freaking out. I freak out watching a movie about it. I'm like, oh my gosh, what, you know, like, and he's like, yeah. And I'm like, even when we go to, like, the shooting range, I'm like, oh, this is a lot. Wow. Like, there were, like, casings flying everywhere, and he's like, so calm. And I'm like, this isn't, like, a lot for you. And he's like, no. And I'm like, okay, well, I get that you work in the armory and you work with guns every day, and, like, that's your job. But I'm like, should this not, like, you know, like, get you going? And he's like, no, we're calm. We're cool.
We're calm.
Like,
we're cool. Relax.
Yeah.
I love it when people tell me to relax, because I'm like, can you?
I can't relax.
Much?
So, like, I don't want to be told that.
There was a thing, because I'm Italian, and my mom sent me this thing, and it was like, when you tell an Italian woman to relax, it's like trying to baptize a cat. And I was like, oh.
That's good.
That's
really a good
accurate,
one.
Because I could never. Like, Troy has, I think, told me to relax once.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I was like, get out of my car.
Yeah.
Get out of my car.
Cade's
now.
Simmer. He's like, simmer. Let's
simmer.
Yeah. Let's simmer. I'm like, simmer. And I think it's funny because he knows that I don't, like, relax or, like, calm down. And so it's kind of almost a joke because it makes me laugh because I'll be like, simmer, let's, and he does it in like a joking voice, almost like it's not him being like serious or mean or like simmer down, Mackenzie. Like it's always as a joke. So it kind of like will throw me off of whatever I'm like upset about, because it just makes me laugh. Because he'll be like, let's simmer, you know, simmer. But no, I totally feel, I feel like any girl, you should just never tell to calm down.
No. I just think it's rude. And like, you're going to get something thrown at you. Yeah. Like, you really are. Whether it be a cast iron pot, a lamp, it's going to happen.
That is so funny. Yes, I feel like it's like the Parent Trap when she like threw the hairdryer at him.
Wait, I don't remember that. The Parent Trap.
It's like with the Lindsay Lohan twins. Well, she's not a twin, but she like...
No, of course, but I don't remember a hairdryer being
It's like
drunk.
They talk about their divorce and how she threw a hairdryer at him.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay, oh, I remember that. Wait, is this the pool scene? I remember this.
Okay, that's so funny. Okay, so let's get to why we had you on today.
Sorry.
Okay, so I want to talk about religion because I feel like it's something that's helped me a lot as a spouse.
Okay.
And I kind of wanted to know about your experience with religion and kind of what you've experienced and how it's helped you as a male spouse. So tell me all about that.
Okay, so my background is I grew up Christian.
Okay.
Like, went to Christian schools my whole life, would not recommend, but like, grew up Christian, and then I kind of, I wouldn't say I fell away from it, but I just really had a problem with the, like, I guess my high school and like what they were teaching.
Yeah.
And so I kind of fell away from it for a little bit, went to college.
Where'd you go to college at?
I went to Saddleback first, and then from there on, I'm probably going to Chico.
Okay.
But, I kind of had a problem with, like, the stuff that they were teaching.
Yeah.
Like, really had a problem. And so I went to college, and I still believed in God. I've always believed in God. But then I met Troy, and pretty quickly, I would say 9 months in, like, he actually proposed to me. We got married literally, I think it was, like, 17 days later.
Oh, my gosh. That's
real
precious.
Quick. And I remember telling him, like, okay, if we're going to make this work, like, God has to be at the center of our marriage, so let's go to church. And I kind of didn't really give him an option. I was like, I'm sorry, but, like, this is happening.
Yeah.
And if not, then I don't think we can be married.
Yeah. Well, I totally agree. I think having God in your marriage really does help. Like, it helps success so, so much.
Yeah. So, we actually on our honeymoon, we didn't really go on a honeymoon because I don't remember why exactly, but he was training for deployment. It was like a year-long training for deployment, so we didn't really have time.
Yeah.
So I think it was 2 days after we got married, I was like, cool, we're going to church. Like, let's go. And we went to church. We
what church did you guys go to?
We went to Calvary Chapel. Off of Poinsettia.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the one that I, like, grew up going to, and I loved it.
That's so cool.
So I went down there, which was, like, way further from San Clemente, because that's where we lived. And that's where my parents lived, too. And I was like, we're going to make it work. So we went down there, and we loved it. And I would say God really brought us together.
Mm-hmm.
I would say we learned a lot. We went into a lot of what are those called? The marriage retreats?
Just
to, like, really get to know each other.
That's
because,
awesome.
You know somebody when you get to marry them. But at the same time,
there's a, like, lot that you learn.
Yeah, there's a ton that you learn. Especially
you
in the first year of marriage.
So much.
Oh, yeah. Well, considering, like, living together, everything changes. Everything changes. Like, you have this certain amount of respect that you have to give to each other that maybe you didn't have beforehand because you got to leave each other alone.
Yep.
And now you share space, you share bodies, you share, like, share lives, like, everything.
Yeah.
And not gonna lie, there's going to be a time that you're gonna fight, no matter what.
Yeah.
But I think God really helped in the way that, like, brought us together and kind of reminded us that, you know, we should be showing each other and, like, loving each other with the fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Which, of course, I fail. Of course.
Yeah.
But, like, that should be our main priority.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, this sense of gentleness in our marriage that is, like, unmatched.
Yeah.
That, and I've never met a more patient and gentle man in my life.
Oh my
ever.
Gosh, that's precious.
We're, like, totally relaxed around each other.
Yeah.
There's not really much contention in our marriage, which
is
I would
really
say
great.
Is really only by God, because there's a lot of things that I feel like I could be like, let's throw hands now. But, no, he's so gentle. So I give him a lot of the credit on, like,
was he religious before you guys got married?
So before we got married, I don't even know how I was, like, okay with this. Coming, like, looking, thinking about this now, I'm like, how did I get married?
Yeah.
He told me he believed in a higher power, but didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it's Jesus, so, like, get your shit together, basically. And, like, I didn't really give him an option, which, like, now I think about it, I'm like, man, like, I didn't even ask him. Like, I just knew he believed in a higher power.
Yeah.
His family was religious growing up, but I think it was more out of, like, not duty, convenience,
yeah.
I would think. Because he didn't grow up with a mother.
Okay. And so where is he from?
He's from, like, Bufu, nowhere, Illinois. Like, okay. The middle of nowhere, Illinois.
Okay.
So, he didn't grow up with a mother, so I feel like the church kind of, like, it's mostly, there's a lot of women. Yeah. So, they kind of were the ones that raised him. So, his dad kind of put him in that situation so that he would have a mother, like, figure.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't think that he was, like,
proud. Because, like, in most religious, it's, like, the mother is the nurturer, the mother is the person that takes care, you know? And, like, that's a very, like, Christian patriarchal thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I think that's what his father was trying to do. But then I would say after his horrific experiences with, like, Christian schools, which I can totally relate to.
Yeah.
Good Lord. He kind of fell away. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, he went to a school. I don't know if this is, like, too much for me to say. Like, it's probably not. Who cares? Troy and I are super open, but I'm like, this is all about him. He went to a school that, like, he had to write why he believed in God. And, like, if he didn't write that paper, he wouldn't have been allowed to go to the school. And he was, I think, like, 6?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, like, if he ever said that he didn't believe in God or he, like, was questioning it, like, he could have been thrown out.
Wow.
So, which is odd to me because I guess, like, you want to have children that are free thinkers. You want to have children that grow up to learn how to think, not what to think.
Yeah.
So, which is bizarre, and I feel like I don't hear that
a lot.
And
I feel like everyone does go through their own path of finding their testimony and finding what they do believe in and getting those experiences. And some people have experiences at a very young age, and some people don't have them until they're an adult.
Yeah.
And you can't, like, punish someone for not... For, like, because we're all on our own paths. We're all trying to get to the same thing. We're all trying to, like, get to heaven. We're all trying to, like, have these experiences, but we're all going to have them at different rates and at different times in our lives.
Yeah, and we're all trying to figure, like, life out. Like, it's not easy. It never will be. So, I think to punish somebody for being, like, questioning anything is a little excessive to me because that doesn't seem right to me at all. But that's just me.
I totally agree.
How else would I say it? Faith, like, during deployment, I think is a huge thing, too, because there's a lot of trust, and there's a lot of, like, really working to be kind and to be patient over deployment, because there's time that you can't speak, there's times that you want to talk and you can't, there's times that you don't want to talk but you know you should.
Oh, my gosh, I feel like that's the biggest one.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really frustrated, or I'm really tired, or, like, I just don't have it in me.
Yeah.
But... I chose you. I made vows to you, and I have to put you before me.
Exactly.
Or, like, I had a bad day, but you really need to talk. Or you had a really bad day, but I really need you to listen to me. You know, like, that's, I feel like, is the epitome of marriage when it comes to, like, marriage is hard. Marriage is hard because you will both, and even when you both have bad days, you both still have to be there for each other.
Yeah.
And I think that is when it comes to, like, marriage is hard. Living with your best friend should not be hard. It should be the best thing ever, you know what I mean? Doing all those fun things together should not be hard. It's hard when our human instincts come out, when our selfishness comes out, when our, well, I want to think about me first.
Yeah.
That's when it's hard.
Like, have you ever heard of the thing that's like, you give 50-50?
Yeah.
I read this thing, and I think it was out of a devotional, and it was like, you're supposed to be giving each other 100-100.
See, that's literally my thing, because 50-50 isn't fair, because there's some days where your spouse won't be able to give 50. And so it's not fair for you to be like, well, I'm always giving 70 and they're always giving 30, because it's supposed to be 50-50.
Yeah. I guess for me, it's like, I also wouldn't give myself like 50%. Like, I wouldn't give 50% of myself to another person and be like, I'm going to take this half. Like, no, like, I'm going to give 100% of myself to you in every way that I can. And yes, I'm going to fall short because I'm human and I'm a woman and I get angry with you, of course. But like... I know I need to do 100%, and you need to give 100% back to me as well.
Yeah, and that way you're always at 100.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's what's really important, because I think, especially in, like, military life, and I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but, like, they might have gotten yelled at, or they might have just, like, messed up on something, or they, like, they could have had a bad day, and then coming home, and kind of like you are, you're like, I'm so excited to come home, because you can't wait to tell them about your day. And they come home, and they're like, I don't really want to talk. I need, like, just space to myself. And you have to be like, okay, that's fine. Or they come home and you're like, well, I have things I need you to do, but I'm going to do it because you had a bad day and, like, you just need to relax. Even though, you know, and it's not like that needs to be every day, because everyone should give their effort.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have to, like, accept the fact that, hey, there are going to be days when it sucks and I'm going to have a bad day and I still have to like pull my weight because my husband had a worse day or my husband needs it more. And I think it's the same thing. Like Cade can have like, I don't want to say it was like 2 weeks ago. He had a really long day. And I knew that like, it was just like, he was pulling weeds for like 8 hours and he was in the sun all day. And I came home and I was just like, I think it was like hormones and just stuff not going my way. And so like, I was just like sitting there crying and I was like, I'm so sorry. And he's like, no, like you're fine. Like cry. It's okay. And I just was like so grateful that when he came home, he probably just wanted to like eat dinner and relax and like, not, you know, like, not have to
interact.
Think. Yeah. And he was, like, willing to just, like, sit there in his camis and boots, like, holding me while I cried, you know, and then, like, we were able to, like, carry on with our day. But I think that's what it comes down to, like, true love in marriage. It's, like, when you're able to really be selfless to the person you love.
Yes, absolutely.
But I feel like we learn that by watching and understanding how Jesus is. And, like, him teaching us all those things and, like, learning about that. And I think that's how we're able to, like, be better wives and like survive deployments and survive the days where you don't see them and it's hard.
Or hear from them, even. Yeah. Also, I think another thing is, you know, we're supposed to be following Jesus. And I think a lot of like what at least like us Christians do, and I've talked to other Christian women about it, and they're like, we always looked like another wife in the church that like they seem to have like the perfect marriage.
Yeah.
But then you get to know that person and you're like, they don't have the perfect marriage. Why am I trying so hard to be like them? When I should really be looking at, like, what Jesus is like.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, like, a huge fault of mine. Like, in the first year of our marriage, I was like, okay, I need to be like this person. And then realizing that this person was nowhere near perfect, yeah. It kind of was like a slap in the face for me. I was like, okay, I need to be more like Jesus.
Yeah.
I need to love a little bit more like Jesus, actually, a lot more. But, like...
Yeah. And I think it's also really easy to be like, oh, like, in social media, like, oh, they have it together. Oh, they have a perfect marriage. Oh, they don't fight, you know? And it's like, okay, well, let's go back to, like, the parables that Jesus taught and the way that he interacted with people and even, like, the way he gave love to people that hated him and, like, crucified him, you mm-hmm. know? And it's like, wow, I, like, should not be thinking that or I should not be saying that. And it's, like, such a great reminder to be, like, he literally was kind and, like, asked God to give those people forgiveness. Like, please forgive them for they know not what they do.
Yeah.
While he's dying on the cross.
Like, literally the most excruciating death. Yes.
Yeah. And it's like, I cannot believe that, like, I will harbor frustration and pain with people that have hurt me when, like, I could easily forgive them and go on.
Mm-hmm.
And how much happier I would be and how much more loving I would be. And it's, like, one of those things where I'm like, that's where I need to work on. You know what I mean? And I think it's just, it's a good reminder because I think... It's good because it puts us in check in a very loving way. And I feel like that's, like, kind of the best thing that religion does for you, no matter what kind of religion you are, is it does a good job of, like, putting you in check in a loving way. And I understand that some religions and some pastors and some bishops aren't like that. Mm-hmm. But I think when you go down to the root of it and you're, like, reading scripture, and scripture is what's putting you in check, you're able to be like, this is only for my benefit. This is only for me. To, like, be happier or to, like, feel more love or to love others.
Yeah. It's definitely about loving others because, I mean, if you think about it, like, our God literally says, like, it's not going to be easy to be, like, following me. It's not. But, like, this isn't about you. This is about loving others and, like, about me, basically, like, about Jesus himself. And then also, like, going back to social media is a highlight reel. And I hate, like, using that because I know everybody knows, like, as, of course, it's a highlight reel, but... Yeah. It's almost impossible to compare each other, like, to people. So, like, for instance, I am, so my major, I study criminal or forensic psychology, whichever one you want to call it.
So cool.
And right now I'm doing, like, sociology and how there are, like, these effects of, like, how you grow up and, like, how you end up, basically like that. And this one part that I was studying was on how, as women, like, we look, actually women and men, I'm not going to generalize and just say women and men, we look to other people on the internet and we want to be like that person.
Yeah.
But it's completely fake.
Yeah.
Like, I can tell you 100%, like, Blessed Life, Marine Life is only the good parts.
Yeah.
Like, I try really hard to add, like, no, this is, like, actually reality. Like, a lot of people will say to me, like, you're so physically fit, you're so skinny, and I'm like, girl... I get constipated for, like, a week, and I look like I'm pregnant. Like, let's be completely honest here. But nobody's going to...
You're not going to post that picture.
No, exactly. And, you know, women are so easily... Well, I don't want to say women. I, again, I don't want to generalize. Women and men are so easily swayed to believe that whatever they see is so real, but then at the same time, they know subconsciously that it's completely not real.
Yeah.
So, like, women will literally go on, what is that app called? Facetune. And they'll Facetune their entire face,
yeah.
And then they'll post it, and then, like, even me, I'll consume that and be like, oh, why don't I look like that? Even though I know it's fake.
Yeah.
So, like, being a Christian, we look at other Christian couples, and we're like, God, they have it all put together. They have it all together. They're great. They never fight. And then, in reality, I know that they are fighting. I know that they're not perfect, just like I fight with my husband, but yeah. I'm never going to post that.
Yeah.
Like, how is it that we fall into this trap? And it's really sad.
No, so. And I think it's hard, and I think that's, like, one of the things that has helped me. And I think it's specifically, like, during deployments, when you're missing your spouse, mm-hmm. because... like, every holiday, what do? You post pictures with your significant other, you know?
Yeah.
And so, that was, I think, the hardest thing. Even, so we did long distance for 2.5 years. So, even before deployment, we saw each other once every 6 months. Like, we were not, like, yeah. And so, how many Halloweens, and we did see each other for Christmases, but, like, Thanksgivings or 4th of July, like, all of those things where, like, you post pictures with your significant others, or even just with, like, your friend group, or, you know, yeah. things like that. And I feel like it's so easy to think, like, oh, well, they're all happy, or oh, they're all doing these things, and they're all together. But then you go back to, like, Jesus, who, Judah betrayed him.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
like his, you know, and things like that. And he didn't have the biggest friend group, and he didn't always have people following him or supporting him. But at the end, like, that's what matters. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really good reminder. And I really do love following certain posts or, like, pages on social media that remind you, like, it could be, like, a daily quote or, like, a daily scripture or things like that kind of break up the Facetune and the perfect salad,
yes,
and, you
yes.
know, things like that.
Or the politics and stuff. And it's like, okay,
yeah.
let's talk about Jesus. Let's bring
yeah.
it back to, like, what we really know is truth.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think it's a really great reminder that, hey, just because it looks like this, it doesn't always mean, you know what I mean? Like, and I think it's a really good reminder of, it is a face, or not a face reel, it's a highlight reel.
Yeah.
But at the same time, do those things truly bring the most joy in your life? And so I think that's, like, sometimes when I'm feeling really sad or, like, upset and I'm just scrolling, I'm like, Kenzie, you have to go close your phone and go open your scriptures. Because you're not going to ever, like, nothing is going to fulfill you besides your scriptures. Nothing from your phone will ever give you that, you know?
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we can get caught up of, like, we're having a bad day, so we'll just scroll. And then you're like, I feel worse. And my mom and Kay just learned this about me, and I don't know if you ever go through this too, but sometimes I'll let, like, anything happening on social media, like, consume me almost. Like, drama or politics or, like, upset people or, like, anything that's, like, contentious,
okay.
I will, like, read about it and I, like, almost internalize it. It's nothing to do with me. Nothing to deal with, like, anything. But whatever's going on in the world and it's, like, dealing with somebody else,
okay.
reading it, like, I get sad. I get frustrated. Has nothing to deal with me. But what do? I continue to read articles about it. I continue to read comment sections about what's going on.
Oh, I can never.
And my mom's like, you have to, like, turn your phone off. Like, you have to stop. And I remember the first time it happened when, like, Kate and I were married and we were, like, living in this house. And I was able to, like, notice it and, like, admit what was happening.
Okay.
And then Kate was like, well, then why are you still going back on your phone to read? Because, like, it was like a breaking news story almost, you know?
Oh my goodness.
And I knew that people, like, it was coming out and people were going to continue to read about it and post about it and make, and I was just almost, like, fascinated with how people were saying things, and I didn't agree with what everyone's saying, but even though I didn't agree, I just continued to read and, like, make myself more upset. And he was like, why are you doing that? And I was like, I don't even know. I couldn't even stop myself. And he was like, you gotta stop. Like, you, first of all, you shouldn't even be caring. But, like, you gotta put your phone away. And it was crazy. So the next day, I was like, I'm not gonna get on my phone. I'm not gonna scroll. And the things that I was able to read a ton of scriptures, and I was able to read a devotion, and I was able to do all these things. And when I went on for a walk, and I did all these things, and I was like, I'm so much happier. Doesn't mean that social media can't bring you happiness, but it's amazing that when you put that in check and you put the priorities in your life better, you know what I mean? Like, and you put Jesus at the top, like, how much better I, like, feel.
I could not imagine going through my phone and, like, reading comments. Like, I read Reddit because it's hysterical to me. But, like, if I was reading arguments, the first thing in my head, I would be like, settle down. Like, you're fine. Relax.
Yeah. And so, like, I literally will have, like, even if I know something would, like, not trigger me, because it's not, like, to that level, but it's more, like, I just can kind of, like, get consumed with the drama, because I'm like, well, what's this person going to say? And I know this person's going to post, so I'll, like, check their page of mine to see what they'll say. It shouldn't even matter. It doesn't even, it could be bachelor drama. It could be, like, politics. It could be anything. But, like, I will, like, and it's something that, like, I have to work on. It's, like, a flaw of mine. But, like, I will be concerned with what people will post about it.
Okay.
And he'll be like, why are you doing that? And I'm like, yeah, I really need to, like.
I could never.
And my mom will even know, like, when I was growing up, she'd be like, if I had a bad day, she'd be like, what happened on social media? Like, what happened with your friends? Because, like, it would truly, like, you could just tell. Like, my body language changes, my mood changes. I will, like, snap at Kate, and he's gotten really, really, really good at it. If he comes home from work and he knows, like, he hasn't done anything, and I, like, snap at him, he's like, what happened today? Something happened. It's not me. I know it's not me. So, like, what happened? And, like, it literally almost makes me, like, check, what did happen? Like, what am I, like, harboring?
You're literally just frustrated because of something that happened in the world.
And it's, like, nothing about Kate. And, or it could just be, like, and then I'll be, like, yeah, this happened at work. Or this happened with a friend. And he'll be, like, okay, well, like, I'm sorry that happened, and, like, me being able to talk about it. And then I'll be like, I really shouldn't have snapped at you. I'm sorry. And he's like, it's okay. And he just has, like, the toughest skin. I think being a Marine gets yelled at all day.
Yeah, but, yeah, like, exactly.
It's just crazy to me that we, like, kind of let social media consume so much of our lives, when it really does, like, it brings some joy. It's so good to see, like, friends that move across the country and, like, see their life.
Yes.
But at the same time, I think it's something that, like, I've been working on, is, like, where am I putting social media on the priority list? Like, have I read my scriptures today? Have I said my prayers today? Have I done the things that I need to do that are going to, like, nourish me and, like, enrich my soul? Or have I not?
Well, also, I think social media is, like, a validation.
Yeah.
It's a huge validation. And I know that, like, I mean, specifically for me, there are times that I feel validated and I'm like, this is ridiculous. Why do I feel validated from literally a social, like, a post?
Yeah.
Or maybe just, like, a story that I have posted. I'm like, why? Why on earth?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I know a lot of people that post a lot of things that they're just like, oh my gosh, like, I love the attention that I get from this.
Yeah.
Which is totally fine. If you want to get attention from social media, that is great. That is 100%, if that's what you want to do, I support you. But, like, knowing me, I cannot. That is the most unhealthy thing in the entire world for me to want to get attention off of social media.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't be the thing that I put first.
Yeah.
It shouldn't. So, you know, and sometimes I feel like we can put social media before, like, our significant others.
Yeah.
And I see this, Troy and I will go out, and it's almost, like, baffling to us. We will be out at, like, a 5-star restaurant enjoying a meal. And, like, you know, you want to be present. Troy and I are big on going out to eat. That's our favorite thing. We love getting good food. There will be people next to us that are on their phones the entire time. And the first thing that comes to my mind is, what are you guys, like, do you guys talk?
Yeah.
Do you guys speak to each other? Or are you guys just, like, texting other people on the phone?
Yeah.
Like, you could do this at home.
Yeah.
And it's almost like it takes away.
And it's almost like a habit. Like, it's just an instinct to pull up your phone and start scrolling.
And it's like, why? And actually, I've caught myself. Troy, actually, he called me out on it because he was like, you know that you pick up your phone and scroll, like, in the car sometimes? Like, it's like an instinctual, like, you just scroll.
It really is.
So I put my phone on the other seat because I'm like, I'm not picking up my dang phone. But you go to a restaurant and you see people scrolling.
Yeah, and it's like, almost like when the, and I think that's, like, something Kate and I have had to work on, because it's almost so easy to, like, when the conversation dies down, or, like, you're like, okay. And it's like, if we were, like, just dating, I would have never picked up my phone. You know what I mean? Like, you were, like, entrenched in each other's attention.
Completely infatuated.
Yeah.
Like, what more can you tell me?
Yeah. Yes. And so I'm like, and so that's, like, we went out to dinner, was it last Saturday? I don't know when we went out to dinner, like, a week or two ago. And I remember, like, we had some gift cards, and so I was like, we should go big, like, appetizer, dessert, like, I want it all, you know? And so, and it was, like, it ended up being, like, a little bit longer of a meal type thing, and I remember, like, we kind of, like, sat there, and I was like, we don't really have anything to talk about, we should come up with something to talk about, because, like, that's the thing with marriage, is, like, it is, you get in that routine, you get comfortable, and it's like, okay, well, tell me about this, and tell me about that, and I was like, okay, talk to me about this with your, because sometimes, when you don't have a busy week and you do spend so much time together, you're like, what is there to talk about, you know? But Cade's new thing, he's really about investing. He, I don't know why his Marine unit, all they talk about is Robin Hood and cryptocurrency and all that kind of stuff.
Oh,
and I know. But it's been so good for us because it's this new thing to talk about. It's this new thing to learn about together and do together. And I'm like, oh my gosh, thank you. Because it's something that we can talk about and we can do together so that, yeah, you don't pick up your phone when you're sitting at the table waiting for your food, because it's so easy. But you're like, I don't want to do that.
No.
I don't want to be like that, because it could be so easy in 5 years to do that.
I think also one other thing is that, like, our communication and our social skills has gone down so much. Like, the fact that there are people, like, you will go to a party and there are people on their phone. And you're like, everybody is drinking, having a great time, and you're on your phone?
Yeah.
Like, this would have never happened. Obviously, phones didn't exist. I mean, I think my first cell phone I had when I was, like, 8. Maybe that was, 2006.
Yeah.
And, like, that was the beginning of, like, cell phones. Because Do you remember the big brick phones? My father had one in the late 90s. And I remember that thing because it was a legit brick.
Yes, literally.
And, like, before that, people would sit at the dinner table with their family, which I know is beyond aggravating, and, like, everybody's antagonizing you, but, like, nobody picked up their phone because they didn't have one.
We didn't if we had phones at our dinner table and we picked up growing up, we got in trouble.
Really?
You do not put your phone at the dinner table or pick it up. You literally, we had family dinner, and you focus on family dinner.
Were you the oldest?
I was middle child.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
I know, it's the worst, but that's okay.
I feel like you guys get, like, you guys always get in trouble for everything. And then also...
Hey, Mom, are you hearing this? Please listen.
Yeah. You get in trouble for everything. I realized, like, one of my best friends, he was over last night, and he was talking about how he was, the middle child. And he was like, I got in trouble for literally everything, but I never did anything. And I get it. I'm like, that's so sad, because the oldest, it's like the tryout kid. Yeah. It's like, they get mad at the kid for everything, but then they think, okay, it's my baby. Like, it's okay. Like, they're the first child. They're just getting it. Then, like, those are the kids that end up being, like... literally not okay. Like, they need therapy because their parents were so strict with them and, like, literally helicoptered them.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, the baby, which is me, who literally gets away with everything.
Yep. Ainsley, are you hearing this? I know she does. Like, no, my little sister gets away with everything.
Yeah.
I'll have to call my parents and be like, hello? Hello? Like,
there are things about being the baby, though. Like, you will never be listened to. Mm-hmm. Like, you will never, ever be listened to. And then you will also never be, like, an adult in your parents' eyes. Like, I am a 23-year-old woman who pays my own bills, and my parents are like, you need to do this. And I'm like, no, actually, I don't.
Yes.
Actually, I physically do not have to do anything for you anymore. But, okay. Yeah.
No, I totally feel that. Okay, so to close, what would you say, you're almost married for 4 years, what would you say your biggest advice for military spouses is?
Oh, man. The first thing that comes to my mind, honestly, is be patient.
Okay. That's a good one.
Not every day is going to be phenomenal. Not every day is going to be bad. But put the other person first.
Yeah.
Because I get that there are days that you are just not happy with that person. I totally understand that. But they have their life, and you will never know what it's like to be in the military. Unless you're in the military, which I completely avoid.
Unless you're
dual. Don't talk to me about this part. Like, I'm sorry, but... you will never understand what it's like to be in the military. They will never understand what it's like to be at home waiting. They will never get that. And even if you try to communicate that to each other, you will never understand it.
Yeah.
So be patient, be kind, love each other, and put the other person first. Because, you know, what they say to you is 100% valid. If their feelings, if you don't agree with them, it's still valid. Because it's their feelings. And if you say to them, this is how I'm feeling, your feelings are 100% valid as well.
Yeah.
Communicate. It's you two against the problem. It's not you two against each other.
I love that.
Yeah. That would be my biggest thing.
Okay, well, thank you so much for coming on. This is great. I love talking with you.
I had a lot of fun.
I love that you're so close. We'll definitely have to go on our walks now.
I know. I cannot believe that I've seen you and then not even have, like, noticed it was you.
No, you're totally fine. I just remember, like, last week, and I was like, I really think that's the girl that's coming over in a week.
I know you from Bianca's post. Because Bianca took photos of you.
Yes. And she's my favorite photographer. She came over. She was on the episode like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
I think I listened to like the first 10 minutes, but then I got on the plane, so I wanted to listen to the rest of it.
Oh my gosh, yes. I love Bianca.
Okay. She had COVID and like, didn't she almost die?
She was in the hospital, yeah.
Okay. That was freaky.
Yeah, I know. It was so scary. But no, that's so funny. I think we have so many mutual friends now that I realize.
Oh, 100%. Actually, I have to follow you on Instagram because
we'll figure out who all we know.
Yes.
But thank you so much for coming on. This is great. I love being able to learn from military spouses, and I feel like we all have such cool stories, and we like to share that knowledge and to have that friendship. I feel like it's just so vital because, yeah, we have husbands that deploy, or we have wives that deploy, and like all that kind of stuff. And to be able to lean on each other, I feel like is a game changer.
100%. Like the family that you create, it doesn't have to be blood. Like it's family.
Right. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Of course. Bye.
Okay. So to close out our podcast, I wanted to do another quote that I really like, and it is, "Don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds you plant. And this is Robert Louis Stevenson. And I really like this quote because I think sometimes we can get really caught up in what we have now or what is right in front of us or that instant gratification that our society has created. And I think sometimes it's hard to remember that we did do all these things in the past that will soon reap, but maybe haven't at that day. And so I really like that it's a good reminder to think about, hey, we planted those seeds and they're still growing, but one day they will produce the fruit or the vegetable or the plant that we need. So going to school and getting your education is hard, and it's so many seeds still in the ground for so long, but slowly they're able to bloom and you're able to have either a certification or a degree or something to prove that you kind of went to do your schooling and things like that. And so it's sometimes really hard when you're in the brunt of it to be like, hey, I have nothing to show for my work. I know that's something Cade and I talk a lot about. I think sometimes the Marine Corps, and I think all military, you work really hard hours and you work really hard, and sometimes you're not always rewarded or promoted, or you don't always get kind of the benefits, from what your hard work is or what's kind of in front of you. And sometimes that can get hard, but I think in the end it's a really great reminder that if we keep trying and we keep pushing, that it will all work out in the end. And I hope you guys love this episode. I'm so grateful for Emily for coming on, and I'm lucky that I have the opportunity to do this podcast and that you guys tune in with me every week and listen. And I will catch you guys next Friday.